So good evening, everyone. My name is Karen Duncan, and I'd like to welcome you on behalf of the 52% Coalition. We're very pleased that we are hosting this candidates forum this evening on women's issues. And I think I just would like to say a couple of words in welcome. It's interesting because I have been asked a number of times why we're called the 52% Coalition. And of course, it's because women make up almost 52% of the population in British Columbia. We feel we're a force to be reckoned with. And as a consequence, decided a few months ago to organize around the election to try and encourage women to register, to get out to vote, to inform themselves about the issues in the election. And this is an event that's a part of us achieving that objective. So the 52% Coalition includes a really wide cross-section of women. It includes elder women, women who work in the health sector, students and educators, child care advocates, women's centers activists and anti-poverty activists, as well as proponents of women's equality through legal work. Of course, the 52% Coalition is a nonpartisan coalition, and as I said, our objective is to put women's issues on the electoral agenda for this election, to encourage women to engage in the political process, and of course, to get women out to vote on May 17th. So we do have some really great documents on the back table there, two booklets, a yellow and the white booklets that the 52% Coalition has produced, as well as a third document that was a WE Act, Women in Elders in Action document. And those are documents that we're encouraging women to take away to all candidates' forums. There are questions in those documents that will assist women in posing questions to candidates. As well, those documents are also on the website, and we're hoping to get the word out province-wide because, of course, one of our mandates is to encourage women to get out to the all candidates' forums in their community around the province and to use those documents as tools to encourage women to come to the candidates' forums in their community and to actually ask questions that are around issues that are of importance to women. So our moderator this evening is Erica Johnson, and I'm going to turn things over to Erica. And of course, many of you will know that Erica is the co-host of CBC TV's investigative consumer show Marketplace, a show that I particularly enjoy watching on CBC. And we're really pleased that Erica is able to be the moderator this evening. So thank you, Erica.
And thank you. I'm honored to be a part of this evening. Welcome to this event. I'm glad to see a turnout. I know that the summer weather is almost here, and so it's great that you can take some time on a Friday night to join us. And I think what we'll be hearing tonight is so important because there's been so little discussion about women's issues so far as the campaigns unfold. Here's how the format will work tonight. We've got our three candidates from the NDP, the Green Party, and the Liberal Party. They will each be given 5 minutes for opening statements, and then our panelists will put some questions to them, and there will be a 3-minute time limit for each candidate to answer. Before this evening got underway, I believe you drew numbers to pick the order of who will go first. No, not yet? Oh, well, how about we will quickly do that. Okay. The number was 17. And Adrian, you'll be first with 15, Jenny with 11, and then Linda will go third. And what we'll do is we will rotate that order so that for the second question, Jenny will take it first and the other two will follow. Our political guest this evening, as though you didn't know, is Adrian Carr with the Green Party, Linda Reid with the Liberal Party, and Jenny Kwan with the NDP. Welcome to you all and thanks for coming this evening. And the people putting the hard questions to our politicians are to my far right, Susanna Tam. She has been working with multicultural communities for the past 8 years, doing communications and outreach around health, women's health, HIV, AIDS, sustainability. Susanna's background is in law. She will be the next executive director of the BC Institute Against Family Violence, and she's also a principal of Mango Communications, which is a firm that specializes in multicultural communications to reach Asian Canadians. Welcome. Margot Young is an associate professor of law at the University of British Columbia. She teaches and researches in the areas of constitutional law and social welfare law, and she has worked with non-governmental associations on women's social and economic rights. Thanks for coming. Well, as you just heard, Adrian is going to be the lucky person to start off this evening's questions. So we'll begin with Margot Young's first question to our candidate. Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. We're going to begin with opening statements. What an evening. So I've got my handy clock here. Before me is a gizmo that you'll see. The green light will count down. When it's green, it means five. When it turns yellow, that's a one-minute warning. And red, you're cut off. So welcome, Adrian.
So for our five-minute openings up here?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Erica. Thank you all who organized this event. Women's issues ought to be a focus of discussion amongst all the leaders and all the party candidates. And thank you to every single one of you for coming out. I'd like to start by doing something that politicians rarely do, but I think women ought to do, and that is acknowledging the work of other women. I would like to formally acknowledge the work of Jenny and Joy McPhail in our legislature over the last 4 years, because I think they show what two feisty women can do in a sea of liberals. I'd also like to acknowledge the work of Linda Reed. I think, Linda, you have played an incredibly important role in your work with the Women's Campaign School, mentoring and nurturing women to get involved in politics, and I think it's great work you do. Some of you may not know me, but I'd like to start by saying that I am a mother. I have two children, a daughter, 21, just graduating from university, a son, 18, just graduating from high school. I do the work that I do knowing that it often compromises my ability to be a good mother. It takes me away from them when I want to be with them, and I do it for them because I believe we really do need a better place, a safer, a more sustainable, a healthier place for my children to live. It was hard for me in the beginning as a professional. I have a graduate degree in geography, taught at Langara College for 12 years. It was very hard for me in those first years of being a mother in the 1980s, finding childcare that I felt comfortable with for my children. Like many of you, I'm sure you faced at that time really very few community resources available, and tears when you couldn't get to the daycare center in time, they were closing, you were stuck somewhere in traffic. It can be an incredibly emotionally burdensome thing to not have appropriate care when you are a working woman. At Langara, I was actually head for a while of interdisciplinary studies. My first job, the very first thing put on my plate, was the fact that the dying hours of the last director of interdisciplinary studies, he axed the women's studies program. And it was up to me to restore it, which I did. I got involved in politics because after becoming or being an instructor at Langara, I decided I needed to be more active in advocacy work. I adored teaching, but I really felt I needed to be in the community working in advocacy. I became an executive director of Western Canada Wilderness Committee. And I played roles in very difficult issues. The issue that I spent a lot of time working on was Clockwood Sound, an issue which is well known as one of the most controversial environmental issues in all of Canada's history. And most people said to me at the time, it can't be solved. No one can solve this issue. It's just too entrenched in polarized thinking. In fact, to go to government at that time, you couldn't even say the word Clockwood. It was called the C word because nobody wanted to deal with it. And my job, along with others, was to pull people together in a solution. And pulling people together into a solution was part of the work that I love the best, and it's part of the work that I think women do the best. And it was my frustration during the Glenn Clark era of pulling together solutions with all stakeholders and handing them to government and saying, here, we're all on board, and not having that acknowledged or accepted, that got me to the point of frustration where I felt I had to enter politics. Well, re-enter politics. I actually was a founder of the Green Party back in 1983, but I took time out to raise my family and develop my career. So I did get reactive in politics. Since becoming leader, I have stood up for women's issues. I stood up and I was loud and vocal over the cuts to women's centers, the cuts to children and family services, to services for disabled, the $6 an hour, the cuts to income support and assistance. I stood on the line with HEU workers because it was wrong for a union that achieved pay equity for women to have 15% rollbacks. The Green Party is a party that is beyond the environment. Yes, we consider the environment seriously, and all of you know us for that. You can count on us to stand up for a protection of the environment. But equally so, we have a platform that includes feminist principles. We're probably the only party that has written feminism into our platform. That's it. That was 5 minutes. You will hear more from me as the evening progresses.
Thank you very much, Adrienne. Jenny, your opening statements.
Thank you very much, Erica. And first of all, I too would like to thank everyone here and the organizers for bringing us here today. And as well, I would like to thank the First People of this land in allowing us to gather here today. Women have faced many challenges over the past 4 years in the province of British Columbia. And I do hope tonight that we can address those challenges, begin a dialogue, and look for possible solutions. A democratic government must represent the voices of all members of our society. Women, obviously, make up over half of the population. Yet over the last 4 years, the Liberal government have refused to listen to the voices of women. When Gordon Campbell cut funding to women's centers across the province, in order to save $1.7 million, affecting 47 women's centers across the province, he eliminated the Ministry of Women's Equality on his first day in office, when he tore up collective agreements for thousands of women workers in the healthcare sector, when he slashed social services and support for the most vulnerable women in the province, when he cut legal aid by 40%, where women depend on legal aid to get access to fairness and to get representation for the judicial system. He made it clear that the Liberals and the Liberal government does not care about women. For Carol James and the NDP, making sure that the voices of concerns of women are heard is a priority. Joy and I, over the last 4 years, fought the fight in the legislature. And let me say this, I know and we knew every step of the way we were not alone. You were with us fighting that fight, and we felt it in our hearts. Because why? You matter and women matter. And the voices of the people, the voices of the people need to be heard in the legislature. So I thank you for your encouragement and your support over those last 4 years. I have to say, the most vulnerable people in our community, the most vulnerable women in our province, seniors, single mothers, poor families, poor women, women with disabilities, they are people too. And they count in our society. And it is not good enough for a government to say that they will represent them. And that's what Gordon Campbell did in the 2001 election. And right after the election, turn around to cut the very services that he knows very well will impact the livelihoods of women and their children. The NDP plan includes a commitment to immediately restore funding to the women's centers so that women can indeed have a place to go to get help, to deal with the violence issue, to deal with poverty issues, to get advocacy. And advocacy is not a four-letter word with the NDP. Human rights should be a basic right, and it is not a privilege. And there are many in our society, they're not getting access to their rights and the fundamental rights protected Why? Because the Liberal government dismantled the very foundation that our communities and the women before us who built that foundation and the nonprofit organizations who are out there right now trying to keep together the capacity to provide the support to the women and the communities that are in need. The NDP will reestablish a freestanding ministry of women's equality so that there is a direct link of bringing women's issues into government, developing policy and delivering the services that women need. But these items, important issues targeted specifically to women, are not enough. Not enough on their own to meet the needs of all the women in British Columbia. Women do need a prosperous economy that benefits British Columbians from all walks of life equally, so that everyone have the opportunity to fully participate. I come from an immigrant family, and I know what it is like to struggle in poverty and to not have your voices heard. And I know women struggle every day because in addition of trying to make the economic means to support your family together, they too also have the family burdens. And I'm a recent mom, and I struggle with that every day. And I don't know how women, and particularly single mothers, do it. I have so much respect for them because they stand, and they stand alone so often fighting the fight. Government needs to be there to be with the people, to work with you, to find the solutions. I don't want to stand here and say I have all the solutions, for I do not, because if I said that, I would be lying to you, and I'm not willing to do that. What I want to do with you is work in collaboration with you to raise the issues of women to the forefront so that we can confront these challenges together. I thank you for inviting me here to be here today. Thank you.
Jenny Kwan from the NDP, and now Linda Reid from the Liberal Party.
Good evening, all. It's delightful to join you, and certainly to thank the Aboriginal community where we are on this traditional territory. It warms my heart that we're here, and I thank most sincerely the organizers for today. And I'll tell you a lovely campaign story. Many of you will know what Burma Shaming is. You hold lawn signs, and you say hello and welcome your constituents back and forth to the riding as they enter and exit. My little girl is 5 years old, and she said to her dad the other morning, "Dad, me and Mom going shaving today." My dear husband, bless his heart, looked at me and just carried on. It was quite lovely indeed. In terms of where we are today as a province, you'll know that, in fact, we've had very good news in the last day or so, that, in fact, this economy is actually working for us today. We have great, great opportunities before us. And we certainly have great opportunities, I think, for families as we go forward. Anyone will tell you that if you want a stronger province, it's because you have stronger families. I've had the absolute privilege of serving this province as the Minister responsible for early childhood development, and I wanted us very much to make the commitment that we indeed look out for those from preconception to 6 years of age. Because what the brain research says today is if you're going to make a difference in the lives of children, you do it when they're very, very small, and frankly, when the interventions are most effective. That speaks to me. And the reality is we have great opportunities to do some better work today and understand better what a healthy pregnancy looks like and ensure that those children come into this world with the best possible opportunities. That is the essence of early childhood development. No question about that. A platform for the delivery of early childhood development is childcare. And those are inextricably linked. There's no question about that. And that is the mission and the mandate as we go forward. Many of you will know that Saskatchewan and Manitoba today reached an agreement with the Honourable Prime Minister Paul Martin. And I believe he will be in this province in the next number of days in terms of crafting more formally what will happen in terms of dollars coming to this province around the child care discussion. It's $600 million for British Columbia over the next 5 years. It's roughly a third, $130 million annually. There's work to be done. And there's some good things that have happened around the subsidy piece. In the past, women who were seeking educational opportunities often were denied subsidy or denied a student loan because subsidy was considered income. That, in fact, has been overturned. And our government, I think, is proud of that piece that says to women, you know what, we're going to support you if you're seeking schooling opportunities and indeed provide childcare subsidies as we go forward. We've expanded support to prevent violence against women, such as the new province-wide crisis line, things that are important for families. Women are receiving victim services support through 153 separate programs in British Columbia today. We've certainly enhanced services in healthcare in terms of midwifery, which is something that this community has asked for a long, long time. I was first elected in 1991. I understand the midwifery discussion from the perspective of having been health critic for the first 6 years of my elected life. Midwifery is vitally important to this community. It's actually working well in British Columbia today. maternity issues, breast cancer screening, mental health and drug and alcohol treatment, all of those things have made some progress as we go forward. And frankly, we've also had the opportunity to make the largest investment in transition house funding, $37 million, the largest allocation in 10 years, in a decade. We've given people with disabilities the biggest increase in their monthly income support also in a decade. They now have the second highest rate of disability assistance in Canada. I'm proud of that. That's a good thing that has been done. Double the earnings exemption for people with disabilities to $400. And if elected, that will increase to $500. That's a very good thing. In the past, you couldn't keep dollars you earned outside the benefit structure. It's important that we have that in place. We've spent $172 million on social housing this year, 54% higher than the Democratic government's $112 million budget allocation in the year 2000. We're increasing emergency shelter funding by $5.1 million to $18.3 million this year, a 28% increase, the highest budget ever. This year, we're providing Legal Services Society with an additional $4.6 million. And I want to speak particularly to that because I know there are people in the audience who will believe that the courts are the answer for children in custody issues. In some instances, that may be true. But in a lot more situations, the courts are not the place for children. And those of you who have seen children go through that process will understand what I'm speaking of, that indeed there are other ways to seek resolution, dispute resolution, arbitration, negotiation, that we should indeed at least attempt. So it is about, in my view, finding workable solutions. And certainly you will know that the PST funding to legal services charged by lawyers was an NDP decision a long time ago. And indeed, they promised to put that towards legal aid, but in fact it didn't. It went to general revenue in those days. So in terms of other services that are actually support to families and support to young mums, one of the ones that's getting great uptake in the province of British Columbia is the BC Nurse Line. You will know that your babies are particularly healthy in daylight hours when you can have access to a physician lots of times, but it's 2, 3, and 4 o'clock in the morning when those families need some supports. They now have 24/7, and that service is delivered in 130 different languages, vitally important. I will speak more. Thank you.
The long arm of the moderator reaches in. That wraps up the opening statements. Thank you very much.